The Iowa Experience. The Iowa economy is similar in many respects to that of Nebraska, and therefore the Iowa experience is particularly significant. Iowa, which began to tax services in 1967, has followed the approach of listing particular services subject to tax rather than taxing all services other than those exempt. It has not had serious difficulty with this approach, though it has been necessary to extend the tax coverage from time to time to attain the desired objectives in light of changing conditions. The list of services subject to tax, as of July 1, 1987, is shown in Table 3-5. Several services were added in 1985, and a few additional ones in 1986 and 1987. Over the years, some have been freed of tax, including advertising. Lobbying activities were exempted in 1987. The 1987 changes made trust departments of financial institutions subject to tax, as well as charges of all financial institutions, not merely banks. The taxable list does not include professional services. There is a specific exemption of medical and related services, and legal and accounting services are not covered. Services involved in the processing of tangible personal property are exempt, as are sales of services for resale and casual rendering of services. New building construction is exempt. Prime contractors are not registered unless they do other work as well, and tax applies on their purchase of materials. Repair of real property is taxable. Services rendered on property delivered into interstate commerce are free of tax, as are custom farming. Spraying for agricultural purposes, veterinary fees for commercial agriculture, and daycare services. A use tax applies to services as well as commodities. The overall experience in Iowa with taxation of services has been satisfactory, but there have been various problems and controversy, and some continuing difficulties. Advertising. The most controversial aspect of the tax was application to advertising. The original legislation of 1967 applied the tax to all forms of advertising, including printed material, radio, TV, direct mail, outdoor, etc. There were a number of problems in the operation of the tax. Much of the material originated outside Iowa, but was printed in Iowa or transmitted by radio or TV in Iowa. In general, radio and TV advertising originating outside the state but broadcast in Iowa was not taxed, and there would have been serious collection problems in doing so, but printed material brought into Iowa and advertising originating outside the state but printed in Iowa were taxable. Advertising in Iowa for out-of-state FNMS could be subject to tax, but collection was difficult. One of the most serious problems was that Iowa firms could place advertising in border city newspapers or radio or TV stations reaching Iowa customers and not be subject to tax at all. No attempt was made to tax national advertising coming into the state, as Florida is attempting to do. There were other problems relating to the relative responsibility of advertising agencies, the advertisers, and the advertising media. Various firms challenged the tax in court. The primary issues raised involved charges that the tax discriminated against interstate commerce and violated the 14th Amendment and the Iowa Constitution for not being uniform in operation. The Iowa Supreme Court rejected these claims and upheld the legislation. Nevertheless, substantial controversy and uncertainty about the provisions remained, and in 1969 the tax was repealed. Much of the uncertainty centered around the phrase originating in Iowa and the differential treatment of various forms of advertising. Other problems encountered in the operation of the tax on enumerated services can be noted briefly. 1. There have been a number of definitional problems. For example, there is no clear-cut definition of investment counseling. The tax on parking lots was interpreted to exclude parking structures. The latter were added by change in the law. There are constant questions about the exemptions of services used in processing. 2. The changing nature of the economy results in a constant need for review of the coverage. 3. There are problems about the question of delivery of a service in Iowa. When, for example, an article is tested or repaired in Iowa and sent out of state by means other than the customer's own trucks, the transaction is exempt. But if only the results of a test, for example, of a medical nature, are sent out, then tax applies. 4. As in other states, there are controversies relating to the sale of tangible personal property in conjunction with the rendering of services, and the ability of the service firm to acquire these tax-free as sales for resale. For example, a car wash provides soap and wax for use in washing. Is the purchase of this by the car wash a sale for resale? The general rule is that if a separate charge is made for a separately identifiable article, the service firm can purchase this tax-free, but otherwise it cannot. 5. There are serious problems in distinguishing new construction from repair of real property. Patching of roof is repair and taxable, presumably construction of an entirely new roof is exempt new construction. Some of these problems can be solved by minor changes in the law, and others could be solved by readjustment of the coverage, but new ones constantly arise. Application of the tax to all services except those exempted would lessen some of the questions, but would by no means eliminate them. The issues would then be over whether particular activities were covered by exemptions, or should be exempt. The new Florida tax on services. The state of Florida is the first state to move to general taxation of services in recent years, although other states are considering doing so. The approach is to tax all services except those specifically exempted. This approach was preferred because of the tendency of the courts to interpret rather narrowly any specific taxing provisions. Initial action was taken in 1986. The legislature, hard-pressed to find additional revenue to meet the needs of rapid growth of the state, and constitutionally barred from imposing an income tax, enacted Bill 86-166, a general measure providing for taxation of all services, to be effective July 1, 1987. Various studies were commissioned by the state with regard to details, legal implications, revenue potential, and the like. As anticipated, in 1987, the legislation was made much more specific and was altered substantially, primarily by providing a number of exemptions, effective July 1, 1987. The 1986 legislation repealed all service exemptions in the sales tax legislation, thus making all services taxable unless changes were made in 1987. As a result of studies made, legal advice sought, and pressure brought by various groups, several basic changes were made in 1987. A use tax provision was added, services rendered by employees to employers were excluded, a sale for resale exemption was added, interest and insurance premiums were excluded, casual sales were exempted, and definitions of taxable transactions were made more specific. Other exemptions were added, the major ones follow, although the exact meaning of some of these is not entirely clear, agricultural and forestry services. Most but not all transportation services, including urban transport, transport of agricultural products and basic extractive industry projects. Most if not all rail transport. Medical, educational, with exceptions, and various social services. Beauty parlors, barber shops. Coin-operated laundries. Certain legal services, including legal services in criminal prosecution, if the defendant is acquitted. Repair of industrial machinery. Certain data processing activities. While many of these exemptions can be justified on the basis of commonly accepted objectives, e.g. educational, medical, etc., others are questionable. The coverage is by no means entirely general. Some services frequently taxed in other states which list tax services are exempted, e.g., barber and beauty parlor service, coin-operated laundries. The tax, however, is broader than that of many states in the coverage of most professional and business services, and the broad taxation of advertising. The other major difference is the strong effort to tax services benefiting persons in the state, but provided buyout of state firms. Under the sales tax portion, services rendered wholly or predominantly based on cost in the state are taxed. Under use tax provisions, when the service is rendered outside Florida but benefits accrue to persons within Florida, the service is subject to use tax. This rule applies to advertising, including national advertising, as well as other forms of taxable services, and tax liability depends upon the proportion of the total services provided in Florida. The two most serious questions that may be raised about the Florida measure are the extensive taxation of services rendered to business firms and the constitutional and enforcement problems of attempting to tax services provided outside the state. Many of the exemptions, e.g. medical service, have strong justification, but others reflect the influence of lobbies. The strange rule on legal services is questionable, to say the least. On the whole, except for extraterritorial aspects, the tax is less broad than that of other states using the general approach. As of October 1987, there is strong indication that the Florida tax will be materially reduced in scope or repealed. The arguments for the taxation of services. Under the usual standards of taxation, there is no basic reason why sales tax should be confined to commodities. The tendency to do so, with minor exceptions, is more the product of historical accident than logic. The objective of a sales tax is to distribute the costs of governmental services in relation to consumer spending, with the usual and reasonable assumption that the taxes are shifted forward by the firms from which the tax is collected to the consumers of the products. Acquisition of services by households constitutes consumption expenditure in the same fashion as the purchase of commodities. There is no basic difference between the two that warrants different tax treatment. Consumers gain satisfaction from services just as they do from commodities. Application of sales tax to consumer services offers several specific advantages. A given sum of revenue can be raised by a lower tax rate, thus lessening pressure to evade and to make purchases outside the state. Discrimination in favor of persons who spend greater than average percentages of their incomes on services will be eliminated, as will be the incentive to spend more on tax-free services and less on taxable commodities. Application of the tax to the services provided by firms already registered because of their sale of commodities would simplify both compliance and enforcement tasks, since the firm's entire charges would be taxable instead of only portions. A major argument in favor to taxing services is that consumption of services is rising much more rapidly than consumption of tangibles. As the economy becomes more service-oriented, the tax base will grow more rapidly if services are taxed. It is also commonly argued that the taxation of services would make the tax less regressive or more progressive, since the proportion of income spent on services rises as incomes rise. This argument would be valid if in fact all services could be taxed, but some of the most progressive services, relative to income, cannot be reached. Foreign travel, expensive out-of-state education, personal services, and the like. Various studies suggest that on the whole, taxation of services does not significantly alter the distributional pattern, and taxation of some types will make the tax more regressive. But the other arguments for taxing services are significant. Some objections raised against taxing services make no sense whatever. For example, it is sometimes argued that since persons pay tax on the purchase of a commodity, it is unfair to require them to pay for cleaning or repairing it. There is no logic to such an argument. Expenditures for cleaning and repair are consumption expenditures, just as those on the original purchases. Service establishments complain about potential compliance costs, but at present purely service establishments are favored over sellers of commodities. The primary problem with general taxation of services, those acquired for business use. Despite the valid arguments for taxation of services, in actually implementing the tax, one encounters a very basic problem, that of distinguishing between services rendered to household consumers and those supplied to business firms. As stressed previously, the rationale of sales taxation is that of distribution of tax burden in relation to consumer spending through taxation of sales to household consumers. To tax purchases for business use is contrary to this basic rationale, and is objectionable in several respects. As noted, in two respects, taxation of services provided to business firms is more serious than equivalent taxation of commodities sold for business use. First, it is much easier for firms to provide services by their own employees, as opposed to acquiring them from independent firms, than it is to produce commodities. It is not too difficult for firms, at least larger ones, to undertake their own bookkeeping, accounting, or legal work. It is not nearly as easy for a firm to commence to produce commodities it normally would purchase, furniture, for example. Accordingly, there is greater danger of economic distortions, escape of tax, and competitive inequity. The second difference relates to interstate transactions. The chief source of leakage of revenue with the present sales tax is that from interstate purchases. With commodities, at least a physical object crosses the state line, although it may be difficult to enforce payment of tax on the purchase. But with services performed outside the state, nothing tangible crosses the border. Inability to tax services obtained outside the state is not likely to encourage individuals to get haircuts or do household laundry outside the state, but it is likely to encourage businesses to acquire services out of state. Suppose, for example, that truck repair is taxable. A trucking firm, not wishing to do its own repair work, will have this performed out of state, and there is no way that Nebraska could possibly tax it. Out-of-state firms coming into the state to do repair or cleaning, in theory, could be forced to register and collect Nebraska tax, but many would escape. If an attempt were made to tax advertising service, including amounts paid for radio and TV advertising, then in areas near state borders, the advertising could be done on stations outside the borders. Nebraska service firms would have incentive to relocate outside the state. Furthermore, the attempt by Florida to tax national advertising is of very doubtful constitutionality. States that have taxed advertising, as for example Iowa, have found serious difficulties and strong political opposition. The opposite problem is the potential adverse effect of taxing services rendered in Nebraska for out-of-state firms. Aircraft repair is a major example. A special rule, such as that in Iowa, would be necessary to exempt from tax services provided for out-of-state FMNS when the commodity is sent into Nebraska solely for service work and will not remain in Nebraska. In conclusion, if the sales tax is applied to services, it should not be applied to those services rendered primarily to business firms. For a simple summary example, suppose that bookkeeping firms are subject to tax. This added cost gives their customers a strong incentive to hire additional staff to perform the bookkeeping in-house. But the customers most capable of doing so efficiently are the larger firms. Smaller ones won't be able to hire additional staff, and so will be penalized by the law because they will have to pay the tax charged by the bookkeeping firm for the services. Similar considerations apply to legal services, computer systems analysis, and numerous others. Yet some of the proposals for taxing services make no distinction between the services rendered primarily to business and those rendered for primary consumption use. Even if this route is followed, the problem remains, however, that some services rendered primarily to households, for example, repair, are provided in part to business firms. Nevertheless, it can be argued that taxation of some services rendered to business firms is tolerable since not all commodities purchased for business use are excluded from tax. But it must be recognized that this is only a second-best approach, made necessary by the difficulty of excluding purchases for business use of goods and services, of types also purchased for consumption. Objections to taxation of certain services on social policy grounds. The second major objection to general taxation of services is that a number of services, primarily professional ones, do not appear to be appropriate bases of taxation even though rendered to individuals. The most important of these are related to healthcare, medical, dental, hospital, and related activities. These constitute an important element in the budgets of lower-income persons despite Medicare and Medicaid, and the distribution of expenditures is very uneven on families and given income ranges. These are in a sense expenditures necessitated by misfortune, and taxation of them appears particularly inappropriate. While more and more families are covered by health maintenance organizations, HMOs, and various forms of health insurance, taxation of these services will increase the premium costs for these programs, and the premiums are borne by the individuals and/or their employers. Taxation of legal services likewise appears inappropriate. Much legal services rendered to business firms and in general is related to obtaining justice, though in fact not all of it is. Similarly, taxation of educational services appears inappropriate in part because of the relationship of public education, provided with little charge, and private education which is paid for by those gaining the education, or by their parents. It would be particularly difficult for Nebraska to attempt to tax private education, as much of the expensive private education is obtained outside the state, and this would be compounded if the tax applied to education provided within the state. There is no reason, however, not to tax essentially luxury education, such as dance classes. Finally, significant objection can be raised against the taxation of public passenger transportation. Freight transport is acquired for business use and should not be taxed in any event. Urban transportation is subsidized, and there is little justification for then applying tax to it. Intercity passenger transport is directly competitive with private car use, which cannot be taxed on an equivalent basis. There is no way that Nebraska can tax interstate passenger transport, including expensive trips overseas, such as vacations in Hawaii or winters spent in the Caribbean. Services recommended for taxation. There is merit, then, in extending the sales tax to a selected group of services, in general, those rendered primarily to households and not to business firms, and excluding professional, medical, education, and public transportation services. Business firms will still bear some of the burden of the tax, but there is no way that all such tax can be removed unless all purchases for business use are exempted from tax by some new technique, and this is unlikely in the immediate future. Thus, the potential list of services recommended for taxation is as follows. 1. Continued taxation of electricity, gas, water, and local telephone service, admissions, rental of tangible personal property, transient accommodations, hotel, motel service. 2. All activity relating to tangible personal property, are repair, cleaning, including dry cleaning, laundry, painting, rebuilding. All work on motor vehicles, parking, storage, except of business inventories and farm products. The only exception to the repair charge would relate to industrial and farm machinery, if the purchases of these goods are freed of tax, and to railway rolling stock and track. 3. Repair and maintenance of real property, including carpentry, roofing, plumbing, electrical, cleaning, painting, interior decoration, pest control, security systems, lawn, garden, and related care, including landscaping contracts, welderling, water softening, excavation, house moving, and the like. Real property construction, including extensions to present structures, would be taxed on a revised basis, as noted above. All installation of fixtures in real property would be taxed. 4. Personal services of all types rendered by commercial establishments, including barber and beauty parlor service, massage, tanning, reducing salons, escort services, various types of commercial schools such as dancing, driving, flying schools, golf and other athletic instruction, pet grooming, training, and boarding. Non-farm animal veterinary service, detective services, telephone answering, funeral services, employment services, bank charges to customers, not interest. 5. Charges for all commercial recreation, in addition to those already taxed, golf course membership fees and charges, membership in other recreational groups, charges for cable TV, and charges for bowling alleys and pool halls, dance halls, carnivals, musical devices, shooting galleries, plus usual admission charges to movie theaters, public events, etc., and all photographic work. This is by no means an ideal listing. since a portion will directly impact business firms. But a coverage as broad as this is almost imperative if any significant amount of revenue is to be obtained. The estimated additional revenue is shown in Table 3.6 and derives from the data in a study by the State Legislative's Revenue Committee staff, adjusted to a 4% rate, and from the above proposed coverage, including the taxation of 50% of the contract price on building construction. The revenue increase is estimated to be about $37.5 million, including $12.250 million from real property contracts. The total would equal 9% of current sales tax revenue. Adding a wide range of professional and business services would raise the additional revenue to an estimated $111 million, or 29% of present revenue, at a 4% rate. Limited extension would add perhaps 5% to the number of registered FMNS. Many are already registered because they sell commodities. Some of these service establishments are more difficult to control than sellers of commodities since their purchases are small relative to their sales, and thus audit based upon data of purchases is less feasible. But the experience of states that have taxed services has been satisfactory, with relatively few problems, except when they try to tax advertising. Revenue from taxation of services in Iowa and other states. Table 3A5 shows the yield in Iowa from the taxation of firms in the service category for the fiscal year ending March 31, 1986. The total equals about 12% of total sales tax revenue, but about one-fourth of the revenue shown comes from services that are already taxed in Nebraska, so that would reduce the relative yield figure to about 9% of total sales use tax revenue. However, many taxable services are rendered by FMNS classified under other categories, e.g., department stores, while F-MNS classified in the service category sell taxable commodities, the yield from the tax on services is probably somewhat greater than the figure indicated. Estimates of revenue from taxation of services in other states with relatively broad coverage include South Dakota, 12.3%, New Mexico, 21.0%, and Washington, 10.0%. 15. The problem of interstate purchases. The most serious problem the state faces in enforcement of the sales and use tax, and the chief source of leakage of revenue and competitive disturbances is the inability to collect tax on most purchases made outside the state, including mail orders. Particularly difficult are those purchases that are then delivered in the state, since these typically escape the taxes of both states involved. Mail orders. The mail order problem has clearly been growing in severity. Since mail order sales are not only conducted by strictly mail order firms, but also by other businesses, it is impossible to develop a precise figure of the magnitude of sales. But estimates of mail orders indicate an annual growth rate of 8 to 12% in recent years, much greater than the increase in total retail sales. Several new developments facilitate this rapid growth: a sharp increased number of firms utilizing toll-free, widely advertised telephone numbers, home computer marketing, computer link-ups, still in their infancy, and computer terminal catalogs placed in factories, supermarkets, and other locations. These computer trends suggest that direct ordering from out of state may increase at a still more rapid rate. It is impossible to calculate the direct loss in revenue in Nebraska, but estimates by the Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations, ACIR, indicate that the loss by Nebraska on mail order sales is between $6 and $12 million a year, or 1.5 to 3% of total sales tax revenue. This does not include loss on cross-border purchases,